and then going into the Gospel of Matthew in the 5th chapter, beginning with the 21st verse. You have heard that our ancestors were told, you must not murder. If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. But I say, if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you are in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you are in danger of the fires of hell. So if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. When you're on the way to court with your adversary, settle your differences quickly. Otherwise, your accuser may hand you over to the judge, who will hand you over to the officer, and you will be thrown into prison. And if that happens, you surely won't be free again until you have paid the last penny. You have heard the commandment that says you must not commit adultery. But I say, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So if your eye, even your good eye, causes you to lust, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your hand, even your stronger hand, causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. You have heard the law that says a man can divorce his wife by merely giving her a written notice of divorce. But I say a man who divorces his wife, unless she has been unfaithful, causes her to commit adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman also commits adultery. You have heard our ancestors were told, you must not break your vows. You must carry out the vows you make to the Lord. But I say, do not make any vows. Do not say, by heaven, because heaven is God's throne. And do not say, by the earth, because the earth is his footstool. And do not say, by Jerusalem, for Jerusalem is the city of the great king. Do not even say, by my head, for you can't turn one hair white or black. Just say a simple, yes, I will, or no, I won't. Anything beyond this is from the evil one. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that we can hold your word in our hands. Thank you that we can read it in our own tongue. Thank you that you pour your spirit out upon it so that we can understand it. As we gather this morning to hear your word proclaimed, may your spirit flow from each and every one of us, teaching us what it is that you would have us to learn and showing us the way that you would have us to go. All this we lift up in the powerful name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we all say, amen. You know, have you ever thought about when you look at something, you know, like this is a cylinder, right? You can see it. It's a toy that I got from the nursery over next door. But if I were to hold it one way, you would see it as a circle. And if I were to hold it another way, you would see it as a rectangle. You wouldn't see it as a cylinder, because if I were to put it, I brought a little triangle. See, I could do this. I could walk up here, and I'm going to step on my brother Bob for a little bit. But I could hold it up like that, and that's a triangle, right? I could hold it like that, and it's a rectangle-ish. Because you're all seeing it from slightly different perspectives. But you can see that how that three-dimensional object has two-dimensional presentations, right? So if you were to look at it one way, you would say, well, I see a circle, or I see a triangle. If you were to look at it another way, you could say, I see a rectangle. But then when you look at it from both sides and all sides, you see it as the three-dimensional object in which it is. And I think that's how we approach things. Well, we see it as one thing. Somebody else may see it as something else. But when we really think about it, we may be both seeing the exact same thing from two totally different perspectives. And we see a three-dimensional object present itself. There is a sculptor that uses Legos. And he builds these sculptures that when you look at it one way, it's an eagle. But, you know, like this example. But you turn it 90 degrees and it turns into a bear. You know, that he builds these sculptures that, and if you look at it from any other angle, it looks like it's like a blob of Legos and you don't know what it is. But I think when our scripture passages today, I want you to have that image in your mind, because we have two distinct scripture passages, but in one we see things one way, and in another one Jesus shows us how to see it as something different, but they both are images of the same three-dimensional object. I'm a firm believer that whenever I'm presented with something that I don't understand, that I say to myself, there is a logical explanation to everything. How many times have you seen that? A story is presented in the news, and you know for certain that that's the reason that this person did this or this event happened, and then you find out a couple of days later it was something totally different. How many of you, when you drove to church today or drive around town, you see somebody with bare feet and ratty clothes walking along the side of the road, and you think to yourself that that's a homeless person, only to realize, if you really got to know them, that that person has a home, they just don't have a car. And so they're walking everywhere they went. How many times you walk into a grocery store and you think, well, I know what this person is. You know, I mean, I've had this example where you walk in and you see somebody buying a bunch of cat food and you think that's all that they can afford to eat, not realizing that they probably have a lot of cats. But there's a logical explanation to everything. And I've always said that anytime I'm presented with something that I don't understand, rather than go to what I think that it is, is maybe to step back a little bit and say, maybe that there's some sort of image that God is trying to show me. There's a logical explanation to this whole thing. So I want that image to be in your mind, because we're going to talk about a passage in Deuteronomy, and then we're going to go talk about a passage in Matthew, and you're going to see how the New Testament helps to interpret the Old, how Jesus is instructing us on how we are to look at the Old Testament. And I'm hoping that what you may have seen as a circle and Jesus presents as a rectangle at the end turns into that cylinder that is God and what He wants for you to do. This passage in Deuteronomy is Moses. Moses is speaking to the Israelites. He already knows that he's not going to the promised land. Imagine that for a second. Imagine what it would be like that you led your people out of bondage. You scored this huge victory against one of the most powerful armies on the face of the earth. You defeated a kingdom that was more powerful than anything people had seen. And here you are wandering in the wilderness. You know the promised land is in sight, and God has said, guess what? You ain't making it there. How many of you would have just been like, well, I'll go back? But Moses is addressing the people. He's giving them those final instructions. He's sharing with them, and he knows that his time is drawing to a close, and he wants to share with them and say, I'm going to make sure that you get it before I'm gone. That you understand what I understand, so that when you cross into the promised land, you know exactly what it is going to be. And he's given them these final instructions. And it's very simple. He says, you either choose God or you don't. Very simple, right? Two sides of this equation. He says, if you choose God, you live, follow His commands and His decrees, follow what He's showing you, live in His ways, and you will live long and prosper. Sounds like something out of a Star Trek movie. And then he says, but if you don't follow God's ways, if you don't follow God's commands, you will not live long. You will surely perish. Bad things will happen. And then he says, guess what? You need to make a choice. Choose this day. Heaven and earth are going to see this. You need to make this choice. You know, that scripture says, choose this day who you will serve. And he's basically saying, make that choice. And we could rest well there. I could preach an entire sermon on this discourse from Moses and saying that that's exactly what God commands of you. Obey the law. There's the top 10, right? How many fingers you got on both of your hands? You got 10. Some of you say, no, Pastor, I got 8 fingers and 2 thumbs. I get it. But if I were to ask you to hold up your hands and hold up the number of fingers of the commandments that you haven't broken in the top 10, I think I would probably have a bunch of onesies and twosies, and I would really think I would probably have a whole lot of closed fists coming back at me of all the commandments that you have broken. We could stay focused there. I could say, absolutely, you must love the Lord your God with all your, you know, and have no other gods before Him, that you must not honor the Sabbath, you must not commit adultery, you must not steal. But guess what? Jesus teaches us how we are to look at that. This Sermon on the Mount that Jesus is preaching, I can imagine what it was like. you know, to sit out there. I mean, I look out at all of you. I can imagine what it is to be, you know, be on the side of a mountain preaching to a group of people, and you're trying to share your message with them. You're trying to instruct them on what God wants them to do. And you know that some of them are going to get it, and some of them are going to go home. Some of them are going to understand it, and some of them are not. But you're teaching them what it is that you would have them to do. I think that Jesus also had the understanding that these were a bunch of Israelites. These were a bunch of Jews. And they had grown up in this system of laws. Of you have to obey all of these 600 and some odd laws. And if you break any one of them, guess what? The lever does not get pulled to go up. The lever gets pulled to go down. He's in, you know, and he knows that there are some of them out there that say, well, hey, I got these 600 and some odd laws. And as long as I maintain those 600 and some odd laws, I'm good to go. I don't have to do any more. As long as I don't do any less, I'm okay. But I think he also saw the flaw in that argument. Because if you think about it, we got to pay taxes here in a couple weeks, right? How many of you, some of you probably already done it, but how many of you say, well, I got to pay $100 in taxes, and you go, no, I really think I should send them 110. You don't do that. If I were to stand up here and tell you that in order to make it into heaven, all you have to do is attend church every Sunday, and you get your ticket punched. You wouldn't show up at the congregational meeting afterwards. You're like, preacher told me all I had to do was show up at church. Well, I showed up. I got my ticket. Where's my card for the chaplain to punch? I'm here. I get my gold star. But it's a lot more than that. We see it in our everyday lives. If you know where the bar is set, and sometimes you know where the gray area is in that bar, you're going to exploit it. And I think Jesus knew this because you all drove to church, right? Most of you did. You mean road? I drove here. I got on a highway, and I know that the speed limit on that highway is 70 miles an hour. But I also know that if I'm going under 80 miles an hour, the chances are that I'm not going to get pulled over because I'm not worth it to that police officer when I go speeding by him doing 78. So I know that I have a little bit of wiggle room so I can get here a little quicker. And I'll admit, I did. I'm not going to ask you to admit it, but I know you do it. I hear it. So Jesus is preaching to this crowd, and he knows that as he's teaching them about the law and teaching them about their relationship with God, that there are those that are saying, hey, I stepped over that bar. I am good to go. And he's like, oh, wait. I could preach a whole year's worth of sermons on the Sermon on the Mount. I love the Sermon on the Mount. I think it's if you want to learn anything about the mind of God, if you want to learn what it is to be a follower of Jesus, just learn the Sermon on the Mount. The whole teachings that Jesus has through this entire sermon, you know, and it almost seems like he's trying to, you know, kind of like Moses. He knows that the end is coming and he's going to get his message across. He's got this large crowd and he's going to go on and he's going to teach them. And he bounces around a lot. If that passage that I read was hard for you to follow along, imagine what it was like for people out there. Because Jesus is instructing and he's constantly teaching. But actually, what may have sounded a little bit confusing, there is definitely an image that Jesus is presenting through this passage of Scripture. Because Jesus is telling them, yeah, I get it. The commandment says, thou shalt not murder. And if I were to ask you, how many of you have never murdered anybody, to put up a finger, most of you would put up your finger. But then he says, but if you have malice or you hate your brother or sister, you might want to put that finger down. He says, that's not the way it is. He talks about people who offer sacrifices. We all know folks like this. I'm not pointing fingers, and I don't want you to point fingers either. Because, you know, we already learned, you start pointing a finger and God's going to tell you to put it back down. Start pointing it back inward on yourself. But we know those ones that say, man, look at what I've done for Jesus. Look at how all I've sacrificed for God. Look at what I have done. You know, I gave up chocolate for 40 days. I mean, I get it. Look at what I've done. And Jesus is like, wait a minute. You know, there's people going, and he's going, put it down. Because if you say you're sacrificing for God, but you don't have a good relationship with your brother or sister, guess what? You're missing the point. You can do all of that, but wait a minute. What's this all about? Then I love, there are a couple of pretty strong scripture passages. I know there were some folks that were a bit uncomfortable when I started talking about adultery and divorce. I mean, I could preach a whole sermon on that one. You know, Jesus talking about adultery, you could say, I've never committed adultery. And Jesus is going, put that finger back down. Because if you've looked at somebody, you've committed adultery. Wow. I'm not going to point fingers because I'd probably be pointing back at myself. But he's just saying that's not it. You know, it's not saying, well, I stepped over this bar. Like, wait, not there. Then about divorce. I mean, back then, you know, all you had to do if you didn't like your wife, you just went up to her and said, I'm divorced. And you were done. She couldn't do that to you. But husbands, you could do that to your wife. You could just walk up and say, I'm done. I'm out of here. And you could go on about your life. You could do whatever you want. And Jesus is like, whoa, back up. Wait a minute. That's not what it is. And there are some people that says, well, because I got a divorce, I didn't commit adultery. And Jesus is going, put that finger back down. Because you see, the message that's here, the teaching that Jesus is giving, really, in some ways, you know, scholars call this part of the Sermon on the Mount the antithesis. And I don't know how to say what antithesis or antithesis, you know, that Jesus is giving a thesis of thou shalt not commit murder. But then he's given the antithesis of that, of saying, well, if you have malice towards your brother or sister, guess what? That's the same thing. The scripture's full of a lot of this. Jesus is saying, if you say, I have not committed adultery, but you have done this, you're the same thing. He's presenting this argument. Some people even go as far as to say, you know, Jesus is showing us how we are to look at Scripture. Because some people like to look at Scripture with a very literal lens. They like to say, if the Bible says this, it's in black and white, we have to do it without exception. And Jesus is saying, wait a minute, there is a little bit more to the story. Don't think that I'm standing up here and saying that Scripture has no authority. I'm not saying that at all. I don't think Jesus is saying that either. I think Jesus is saying if you only look at Scripture as a circle, you're not seeing the rectangle, and therefore you're not seeing the cylinder that it is. If you're looking at it through one lens, you're not seeing it through another lens, and I'm going to show you exactly what the whole of Scripture means. He's basically saying, you can say you have met all of the laws, but if you don't have a good relationship with your brother or sister, you have not met the intent of the law. If you say that you love me, but you don't love them, guess what? You're missing it. Because I love them just as much as I love you, so why aren't you loving them just as much as I love you? If you're saying, well, I didn't murder anybody, but I hate them, Jesus is going, you don't get it. You just don't get it. This is a teaching here. Jesus is teaching us that if we want to have a relationship with God, that not only do we have to obey God's commands, that we have to have a right relationship with our brothers and sisters. That we have to focus just as much on the person sitting next to us in the pew as the person that's occupying our own spot in the pew. That it's not about just your relationship with God. It's about your relationship with your brother or sister. That if you want to say you love God and you love Him to the fullest, why would you not love every place of His creation? Why wouldn't you love everybody that He created? Because guess what? I can't find anything in Scripture that says He created things and did not call them anything but good. And that's what Jesus is teaching us. That's the teaching here when He's teaching that Sermon on the Mount. He says, you can obey God's commandments, but really there's a little bit more to this story. You need to be in relationship with your brother or sister. He's also showing us through that the heart of the gospel message. Because he's basically, in some way, saying, you know, you think you have met the intent of the law, but you haven't. You think that you are this perfect person and you're going to heaven because of what you've done, but you don't get it. That's not what it is. You can't do anything. You can't bring any sacrifice. All you need to do is come. I'm here. God has sent me to pay that sacrifice that you can't pay. I'm going to do what you are unwilling and unable to do. And it's because of your relationship with me that, guess what? Now you can have life and have it abundantly. It's almost as if Jesus looked back into the book of Deuteronomy and said, I know Moses is telling them that they need to just obey the laws and the commands and the decrees and they will have life and have it abundantly. But Jesus is going, I am here because they didn't do it. And he's saying, guess what? It don't matter. Wow. That's the message of the gospel. It's the message in a nutshell. It's a message that says that no matter what you brought through those doors, when you walked in here this morning, you're sitting here in the pew, and all you have to do is say, I believe in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the risen Lord and Savior, and guess what? You get that beautiful hug and have life and have it abundantly. Doesn't matter what other people think. Doesn't matter what other people say. It's all about what you say and what you believe. That's amazing to me. That's amazing to know that I don't have to really do anything other than believe. And then God will do the work afterwards. That if I love God and I love my brother and sister, then God will work on me and make me into the creature that He wants me to be. I don't have to do anything beforehand because I can't. I just have to say, I am willing to go and praise the Lord for it. So as you go out the doors this morning, I want to encourage you to think about this. It's not about how you have met all the rules. It's about how you relate to your brother and sister. It's not about all the gold stars that you've gotten through your walk with Jesus. It's about how you relate to those people that you meet on the street. It's not about what you've done or not done, what you've said or not said. And don't even get me going down the number of sins that you may or may not have committed. It's all about your relationship with God and your relationship with your brother or sister. That if you focus on that, if you focus on loving each other as much as God has loved you, let God do the work in your midst. Jesus is saying, I know I don't think you can meet this standard, but let me give you a little bit easier standard to meet. And he did sum it up. You know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our hymn is number 665, O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee. Let us rise and sing. You may be seated.